Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatton rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. Mamma mia, he's done it. Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Welcome, fight fans, to this big fight preview for Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall this Saturday. Great fight. Really looking forward to seeing Josh Taylor back in the ring. And I'm really delighted to have Johnston back for this big fight preview. You've obviously been really busy. Lukey's kindly stepped in for you. But you're back for Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall. And I'm going to hand this straight over to you from the off, Johnston, and get your initial thoughts on what I think is a fight that, for me, has gone quite under the radar.
It has gone under the radar, and Sky Sports are doing well to try and plug it. They've had their discussion, the gloves are off thing, which I did sort of cast my beady eye over. It's quite an interesting watch just to see how the fighters are preparing for this fight. And I mean, look, it's a fight that initially, when it was made, I was it took me sort of by left side, really, because I was a bit like, why is Jack Catterall getting the opportunity? And I hadn't really done my homework, so, you know, I have done that now, and I've gone back and I've seen that Catterall did step aside for the Ramirez-Taylor fight. He was in line to fight Ramirez, didn't obviously take the fight. He allowed Josh to go through all the marbles, which he did, and obviously went on to win. We'll discuss that. But and then there was the injury, which I knew about, which so the fight should have happened around December 2021. So I was probably a bit harsh sort of saying why's Jack got this opportunity, but he has been patient. So it's nice to have actually done a bit of homework there and realised myself. But that, to be fair though, that had gone really under the radar. I know we had a pandemic and stuff, so you know, keeping out of boxing wasn't wasn't the main thing on our minds. But look, just to say that, you know, I completely missed that, and it has gone under the radar. Some people didn't even know that. I didn't. I don't know if you knew, Sean, but I didn't necessarily know he did step aside for this for Taylor to fight Ramirez. So good for him, and now he's bided his time. He's got a great opportunity for him.
Well, I know Jack worked his way up to fight for, I think it was the WBA or WBO, and forgive me if
WBO.
WBO, that's the one. I knew he'd got himself into a mandatory position for one of them belts, and it was a case of, you know, what do you take the step aside and let Josh Taylor and Ramirez fight for the titles with the fact that you're going to get a shot next? I mean, this was the conversation we was having with Anthony Joshua only a few weeks ago. Should he have took the step aside money and gone and waited for the winner of Usyk versus Fury? Now we know that's not happening that way. Jack Catterall did it this way, and fair play to Jack, because this is a huge opportunity. There's more titles on the line. It's for all the four major belts, And Jack Cattrall's got an opportunity here to really upset the rhythm and the pace of where Josh Taylor's career is at the moment. Josh Taylor at the moment is one of the most underrated champions across the whole of boxing for me. He doesn't get the credit he deserves, and he screams a lot about it on social media, to be fair to him. He talks about, why am I not being recognised? I'm the only undisputed fighter in Britain at the moment with all the belts. Tyson Fury doesn't have all the belts, but yet he gets well regarded more than Josh Taylor does. It is actually quite crazy to think that Josh Taylor is not getting the same level of press and respect that other fighters are. And I think his career has been fantastic. I've really enjoyed watching him fight. I've really enjoyed watching his progression, the way he's moved through the ranks for all the different challenges he's been through. The World Boxing Super Series, the fight with Ramirez, becoming undisputed champion. I've really enjoyed it. And we're going to go into a little bit of a conversation about these two fighters' recent careers and sort of how we've gotten to this point, like we always do. And we'll start with Jack Cattrall first, because for a lot of people listening that may not know who Jack is or only know so much about Jack, Jack really hasn't had that marquee standout fight yet, and this is it for him. This is his shot at glory. Looking at his record, looking at the names I remember him being in the ring with, he's had some great wins. Early on in his career, he fought Tom Stalker and got a victory over Tom Stalker. He's had the likes of Tyrone McKenna and O'Hara Davis and beat both of them throughout his career. Tyrone Nurse and Martin Gethin are other names that people will know in the UK as good fighters, good accomplished fighters that won titles, domestic titles in their careers. So Jack has worked his way up through that route, through the traditional route of going through the domestic level to European and up to the world. But the problem he has is he hasn't faced anybody at the level Josh Taylor's at yet. And this is a huge jump up in levels. And I know that's something Josh talks a lot about. And Josh is very confident in his own ability. He always has been. And some people mistake that for arrogance. I just genuinely believe with him, he's very confident in what he can do in the ring and what he can achieve throughout his career. And so far, he's backed everything up. But for Jack, he hasn't had an opponent like this before who has got the skills and abilities to really cause him a lot of problems. And my concern with Jack for this fight is that I don't think Jack has that one-punch concussive knockout power to be able to keep Josh Taylor off him. He's an exceptional boxer, Jack Cattrall. Don't get me wrong, he is an exceptional boxer. But there are some fights that I've watched and I've seen over the past 4 or 5 years where I think, you know, these are not exciting fights to watch. They're not interesting. He uses his ability and he does what he needs to do to get the job done. But he's fighting somebody here who's got such a great skill set, which he's not come across before. So it makes me wonder how Jack's going to approach this fight. And I am concerned for how he will be able to keep Josh Taylor at bay throughout the course of this fight. Looking at his last couple of fights, they've not been, for me, the right level of step-ups after the McKenna and O'Hara Davis fights. They're not the right step-ups for me. He needed bigger step-ups. He needed bigger names, former champions on his resume for me, before he steps in with Josh Taylor this weekend. I really do think experience, or a lack of experience, is going to be a bit of a problem for him.
I think that's the major factor, isn't it? I mean, he's fought a lot more rounds than Josh. He's had more fights than Josh, but yet he hasn't had nowhere near the level of experience he's fought against. His opponents are, you know, the names that jump out are McKenna and O'Hara Davis. And you know, for me, O'Hara Davis on that night was just very disappointing against Cattrall. It was actually quite a close fight, but Cattrall coasted through it for me, and O'Hara never threw a right hand once. And we see what Josh Taylor did to O'Hara Davis. Look, we can't use an opponent, you know, that's the only opponent they share on their record, and we can't say because Taylor's demolished Davis that, you know, he's going to demolish Cattrall. That isn't the case, you know, completely different style. And Cattrall, as you say, he's a very, very good boxer. He hasn't been tested. He's had, you know, people talk about the gut check, didn't they? That's just the expression used a lot for this fight. He hasn't been gut checked. That's, you know, it's the way it is. He's not had that level of experience in the ring. So there is question marks raised. If he actually gets hit, what actually happens? Will he recover? Can he recover? Has he got a good chin? There's not really been much asked, and I think Josh Taylor's going to obviously ask all of those questions, and we're going to get some answers on Saturday night. The fact is, Jack is a southpaw, and he is, as you say, he's a very good boxer, and he does make fights look easy for himself because he's got that about him. You know, he's got Jamie Moore in his corner, he's got a decent established coach there, you know, he's got Kerry Kays, the cuts man, in there as well. Look, he's got a nice team around him, and he's trained with Josh. They know each other quite well. So he's going to know maybe little flaws that other fighters may not know. So will he be able to exploit those where other fighters haven't necessarily been able to do that? It's just a more of a, you look at Jack and you think he's not been tested. This is his big, big opportunity. Can he deliver? This is the only way we're going to find out as well on Saturday night. But in terms of what he's done at the minute, there's nothing there that suggests to me that he's going to.
Josh Taylor's career then, Johnston, as I said earlier, has had a really good step up in levels throughout the course of the last 8-9 fights. I go back to the O'Hara Davies fight as being his coming out party, when I think most of the casual audience started to realise that Josh Taylor is a talent. You know, most of the people that follow boxing but not hardcore fans, not the ones that watch week in, week out on every card they can. I'm on about the people that dip in and out of the sport. They'll have seen Josh beat O'Hara Davis, and then the step up to Miguel Vasquez, then Winston Campos. Victor Postol was another standout night for him, and then he got into the World Boxing Super Series and beat Ryan Martin, Ivan Baranchak, Regis Pagrai in a great final. He had one layup fight that we can consider a layup fight, which was Kong Song, Apinun Kong Song, and he blew him out in one round. People can complain about that one being, you know, not the level that we wanted to see him at. But then in his next fight, in his very next fight, he unifies the whole division, becomes undisputed champion in the super lightweight division by beating the other champion, Jose Carlos Ramirez, in what was a great fight over 12 rounds. Really, really great fight. And he dominated that fight. He had Ramirez down in rounds 6 and 7 and shown that he is the boss of the 140-pound division. So for now, for him to go into this fight with Catchrell, an undefeated fighter, 26-0, will he be overlooking Catchrell? Will there be a chance that he might overlook Catchrell, even though he's undefeated? Will he overlook him because he knows Catchrell's not had the experience? Is he too overconfident? Is he looking past him for a potential fight with Terence Crawford? Is he looking at this move up to 147? Is there a chance that that could happen? Or do you think he's just going to be a consummate professional and he's going to go in there and he's going to try and make a statement?
I think that is the one thing that we can actually look at and suggest that maybe he is looking beyond that and he's going to overlook Jack Catchrell. He's been quite explicit about the fact that he isn't. You know, he says that there might not be as much rivalry between the pair, but he's the consummate professional and he wants to win. And that's just something that's within him. He feels that he's got all the tools to beat Jack Catchrell, and he's proved it. I mean, look, there's no doubt about it. I mean, O'Hara Davis was definitely the coming out party for me. I think that the real check for him was the Postol fight. I think Postol hurt him in that fight and he showed he had something. And that was a huge learning curve that Josh Taylor had going into the next fights and into the Super Sixes, whatever you call it. The
World Boxing Super Series.
The World Boxing Super Series. Completely lost it. Super Six. God, that was ages ago. To go to beat Martin, it was a pretty easy fight. Ivan Baranchik, great performance in that fight. That was a huge fight. It's the last time he's fought at the SSE as well. So he's getting back with a crowd. And then obviously Prograte, huge night for him. And even the Consong fight was actually... The IBF forced him to take that fight before he could fight Ramirez. So look, at the end of the day, that was his mandatory. So although it was an absolute layup for him, he was forced to take that fight if he wanted to fight Ramirez for all the belts and obviously Catchrell step aside. Look, there's so much that Josh has done, and you're right, he doesn't really get the respect, but he is the best fighter around in Britain at the minute. I don't think there's anyone better than him. People may say Tyson Fury, but not for me. I mean, Josh Taylor is head and shoulders, honest to God, in terms of his ability. He is so close to going in to that next level. He's already you know, undisputed champion, but he could move up in weight and he could do some magnificent things for the sport. I think he, at the end of his career, this guy has got, is in a position where he could come out of it as the greatest ever Scottish fighter, which is, which, you know, when you think about Ken Buchanan and guys like that, I mean, that would be absolutely a magnificent achievement. But he is on that cusp of that. And Jack Catterall is just another another body in a way. That Jack Catterall, for me, I think if he had a fought Ramirez, I think he would have come up short against Ramirez. So for Taylor to have dealt with Ramirez the way he did, which I thought was sensational, by the way, I thought he was terrific that night. And he even hurt his hands and openly admitted that he, towards the end of the fight, he had to step off because his hands were hurting. So I suppose the only thing for me that Catterall can really get hold of is the fact that he knows Josh. He knows him quite well. Josh has come through injury. He's only just come through a knee injury. That was why their first fight was postponed. I mean, he's mentioned that he thinks Josh Taylor's got a bit hot-headed, but I think he needs that to go into fights for him to perform to the best of his ability. So I don't think that's a hindrance. And I think the other thing is if Josh underestimates Jack, I think that's the only way Jack gets anything. But for me, you look at Josh's CV, mate, it's the best in the business for me, for British boxing at the minute.
It's hard to argue against that. It really is hard to argue against it. And I suppose, like, we've got to put a little bit of a spin on how we think this fight could play out on both sides. You know, a little bit of a breakdown as to how these guys could beat each other. And going back to Jack, how does he beat Josh Taylor? I mean, look at his boxing ability that he's got. He's going to be boxing a sublime boxer. If he tries to box his way through this fight, I think he's going to come up short, because I think Josh Taylor is clearly, evidently, a much better boxer. But does he try to rough it with him? Does he try to get on his chest? Does he try to adopt an approach that maybe Josh Taylor isn't expecting from Jack Catterall? It's not often you see Jack get in a fighter's face and on their chest, because it makes the fights easy for him. He uses the distance, he steps in, he steps out, he uses a lot of lateral movement around the ring, he tries to confuse the opponents, he's naturally a southpaw fighter, so he's got a few advantages on his side here. But how does he beat Josh Taylor? What is it he can do to beat him? Does he have to fight in a bit closer? Does he have to make Taylor work a little bit harder than what he's worked before? I'm struggling to see how he gets on the inside and how he gets out without getting hurt. I want to see Jack do well personally, but I also know how much of a talented fighter Josh Taylor is, and it's hard. It's hard for me to sit here and make a case for Jack. I'm not writing him off, but it's hard for me to make a case for him to say, well, I think Jack can do this or this to win the fight, because I think whatever he tries to do in this fight, I think he's going to come up against a really, really tough and skilled individual that I think is going to have the answers. And it sort of bleeds a little bit into prediction territory, this, because, you know, I don't want to just not go through a bit of an opportunity to talk about each individual and how they can fight, but I struggle to see how Jack wins this fight. I struggle to see what he does to win the fight.
I'm with you. I mean, they're both southpaws. They're going to be a mirror image of each other. I mean, Regis Prograis was a southpaw. And we see what Josh did to him. Did to him. That was a very close fight. It's a very competitive fight. One of the, I think we voted it as the best fight, barring Inoue's performance with Donaire. But look, you know, that's a whole other ball game. But the fact is that there's too many advantages that Taylor has gone into this fight. For me, if Catchell's going to beat Taylor, he's got to keep it long. He's got to try and keep it long. He's got to try to outbox him. Can he outbox Taylor? I mean, Josh has got ability to create spaces within the clinches. You know, he's got that beautiful way of sort of just manoeuvring himself with his shoulder and finding space. You know, he's got speed. I think he's faster. I think his brain's a lot sharper. I think because he's been there, he's fought the best in the division, and that's just only going to give him more armor going into this fight. He's a great counter puncher. He showed that against Ramirez when he put him down for one of them knockdowns. He can rough it in the trenches like he showed against Prograis. There's too many things that Josh has in his armory that I don't think Jack Catterall's going to be able to just, if whatever Jack throws at him, I think Josh is going to just counter that with something. Jack may get a little bit of advantage. He may find his way through sort of 3 to 6 minutes where he's managed to keep his range, he's through shots and Josh may have missed a few, because Josh, you know, the one thing I would say is his defence isn't spectacular, but his counter punching is, and he's shown he's got a chin. It's just every time you sort of counter anything with in Jack's favour, I think you sort of automatically can counter that with what Josh brings out of his bag, out of his armoury. So look, I'll be honest with you, I think Jack needs to keep it quite long. If he goes to the trenches, I think he gets stopped. If he wants to go and fight, have a fight with him in the middle of the ring, I think he does get stopped. Saying that, Jack, I mean, he's not been tested, so we just don't know. It's a really interesting one, because you don't know what Jack's going to bring. But I just think experience and who Josh has fought in the ring, I just think that all stacks against Jack. And for me, the Josh v. Jack battle, and I'm going to go with Josh Taylor. I just can't see Josh losing this fight. I think he's going to put Jack down. I think Jack's going to show a lot of character, and people are going to give him a pat on the back and say, look, you're going to come again, son. When Josh decides to move up, I think he will become a world champion. And this is the fight for him to prove that. I think he gets through it. I think he lasts the distance, but I think he gets beat on points.
Well, I'm going to keep this short and sweet, because I've already got it in my mind of how I think this fight goes. And again, I'm not being dismissive of Jack Cattrall when I say this, but I just think Josh Taylor is a special talent. And I think he's got the answers for everything Jack's going to bring to him in this fight. And I think Josh Taylor goes the distance with him. And that's one thing I will say, is that Jack Cattrall, he lasts the distance in a lot of his fights. Josh Taylor goes the distance in a lot of his fights too. I think this is what we're going to see. We're going to see a little bit of a chess match here. I don't think we're going to see a war. I think we're going to see Josh Taylor showing his sublime skills, showing that he is a level above Jack Cattrall, and that it'll be time for him soon to move up and chase them bigger fights in the welterweight division. But like you say, I think Jack will get a pat on the back. I think he'll show tremendous heart, tremendous ability, and the level that he could be a world champion one day, and he is still in the position to be able to come again. This is a fight where if he loses, you know, it's a win-win fight no matter what happens for Jack, because even if he loses the fight, people are going to look at it and go, well, it's Josh Taylor, undisputed super lightweight champion. You can't argue that he's gone up against the best and he's lost. That doesn't mean he won't become a world champion. It just means he's challenged himself against the best. But I think Josh Taylor wins it on points. So that is the main event for Saturday night. And before we come into Sunday night's main event as well, we've got boxing on Sunday, if you didn't already know. Lawrence Acoli is back defending his world title. But before we get into that, the undercard isn't spectacular. There is one fight on there that I found really interesting, and it's in the featherweight division. It's Robson Ramirez fighting Eric Donovan. I think that'd be going to be a great fight in the featherweight division. I think that's going to potentially be a show stealer for this show. I think Josh Taylor could make this fight look easy against Cattrall, and Robson Ramirez against Eric Donovan could actually be the standout fight of the night. So if you're looking at what undercard fights to tune in for, that will be the one for me. We've also got heavyweight Nick Campbell 4-0 against Jay McFarlane for the Scottish area heavyweight title. And then we've got a list of different debutants, fighters that are early on in the career. Corey Gibbs at super lightweight, 16-0 against Carlos Perez. Another fighter to check out for. Paddy Donovan, 7-0, is also on here. So there's a lot of fights to be checking out this weekend on that particular card. But I'm now interested in turning our attentions to Sunday night. Sunday night boxing. We don't get much of Sunday night boxing anymore, but Lawrence Acoli is defending his cruiserweight title this weekend, and I'm really intrigued to see what happens for Lawrence, because we know Lawrence, I don't think, has much longer left in the cruiserweight division before he eventually has to move up because of his natural size and his natural advantages. I think he is going to move up very soon. But is he going to get the big fight in the cruiserweight division? That's the big question. But he's got to come through this test first on Sunday against the Polish fighter Chislek. I think that's going to be another telling factor about whether Lawrence Acoli is ready for that big fight against Marius Bradis. What do you think about Lawrence Acoli and his time in the cruiserweight division, his reign as a world champion so far, and also whether he could beat Marius Bradis?
Yeah, I mean, we've spoke quite highly of Lawrence in sort of the past year and a half. He had a couple of, we've always mentioned he had some stinkers, but I think he's adjusted now, and I think he's now starting to show his promise. I mean, he's got a lot of power, And he's such a difficult frame, isn't he, to fight against. He's so gangly and rangy and just, you know, you can't really fight him on the inside because it just gets disgusting and dirty, doesn't he? Let's be honest, the whole fight turns into an absolute just mess. But he's too strong, too big. You just can't handle him on the inside. You try and stay him on the outside, he's just going to jab you and wallop you with the right hand. He's just shown that in abundance in his last few fights for me. And he's the distancing has majorly improved, and Shane's got to take huge credit for that, because I think he's helped develop Lawrence Okolie into a more rounded fighter. And he's not so naive and just terrible to watch. I think he's quite enjoyable to watch now. But I think the one thing about Mikhail Cilak is the fact that, you know, he's a Polsky guy. You know, he's had 22 fights, had the one loss on his record. He's come out on the back of a first round KO or first round stoppage of that Kishanki, whatever you want to call him. Look, he's fought a lot of the time in Poland. But, you know, Eastern European guys are tough. It's a cruiserweight division. It's never quite straightforward. I expect Lawrence to come through, but because we don't know too much about Cilak, and the fact is he's knocked out 15 of his 22 opponents, it could cause him problems. I mean, Lawrence Okolie's turning around saying he sees this as the hardest fight of his career so far. So that's good to hear from him, because, you know, I think he needs that attitude. It should be a comfortable night for Lawrence. I think he's going to show once again his power, his strength, and his technique is going to show to be better. And I think he comes through it. But it's just a dangerous one. It's like the Mexicans coming over. You just don't know. And Cilak was a tough Polsky. You never know. He's got a shot.
So looking at this fight for me, Johnston, I look at it as in it's another progressive fight in the cruiserweight division. The biggest fight in the division is obviously Okolie versus Brady. So that's the fight that needs to happen for me in the cruiserweight division. And until we get to that, Lawrence has got to fight good opponents. Chislak isn't a good opponent. I've looked online at what the Polish journalists are saying about Chislak, and they're saying that he actually is their best cruiserweight that they've got at the moment. He is the best cruiserweight. The only loss on his record, as you mentioned, is to Alunga Makabu. So it's not like he's fought nobody. He's fought Makabu. That's his biggest fight on his record, and he lost on points to Makabu. So he's got the ability to cause problems for Lawrence Okolie. But has he, though? Has he? With Okolie's power and Okolie's reach advantage and his height and the way he's seemingly got these crazy physical attributes that seem to look so much different on fight night compared to what you see in the press conferences and weigh-ins. When you see him in the ring against these guys, he just looks like a totally different fighter. This is why I don't think he's going to last much longer in the cruiserweight division. But Lawrence is obviously 17-0, much improved fighter, as we've rightly pointed out. He's so much better than what he once was. I mean, for the last couple of years, I'd say since 2019, he's really improved a lot under Shane McGuigan, and I've liked his progression. I've liked seeing where he's going, and that he is an improved boxer, and he's a fantastic finisher. And that's the one thing we need to remember: the last 5, 6, 7 of his fights are all ended by knockout or TKO, because he's able to finish the fight. He knows when to step on the gas. He knows when he's got a fighter hurt. And he's improved and fine-tuned the way in which he finishes fights. He's not as wild as what he once was trying to finish his fights. And that's what I've enjoyed seeing about him most recently. I do think he comes through this. I do think he gets another big win here. I do think he puts another stamp on the cruiserweight division. And surely Brady's has got to take this fight. But for me, who else can Brady's fight other than Dorticos or Makabu? I mean, there's no other fights there for him. Marius Brady needs to fight Lawrence Okolie. That is it for me. You look at the Dorticos fight he had in 2020. He beat Dorticos in 2020 by a majority decision. And then in his last fight, Arta Mann in 2021, he beat him by TKO. He beat Kluwaki in 2019, who obviously is a common opponent with Lawrence Okolie, and Lawrence Okolie destroyed him as well. So, you know, this fight has to happen before he can move up. I think, for me, it needs to happen. It's got to happen, because Lawrence Okolie needs to stamp his legacy in the cruiserweight division before he moves up. And as we know, Brady's holds the IBF version of a world title at the moment. So it's important that he gets his fight from me before he moves up. Even if he doesn't go on to, say, become undisputed cruiserweight champion, I don't think that's a possibility with the way he's moving up anyway, and the fact that he'll probably be a heavyweight sooner rather than later. But he needs the Brady's fight before he moves up to heavyweight. He needs to get that title from Brady's, and he needs to show that he can hang it with the elite level fighters. And this is what we need to see. These are the questions that need answering. But first, he's got to come through Mikhail Sislak on Saturday, or Sunday night, should I say. I keep forgetting it's a Sunday night fight again, even though I mentioned it earlier. Now, that one's live on DAZN. And the Friday, the Saturday night show is live on Sky Sports. Or you can find it at our friends on Daz TV. Go and contact them on Twitter and look at their great services that they provide on there. And this is the main two fighters of the weekend. Looking at the rest of the undercard for Sunday night show, Jordan Gill fighting for the European featherweight title against Karim Gueffe. Anthony Fowler's back in the ring. Fabio Wardley, Galal Yafai making his debut after coming off that successful Olympics. And we've also got Campbell Hatton on the undercard and the debut of the cruiserweight from the Olympics, Chevon Clark. So the undercard on this show seemingly a little bit better than the Saturday night show and the offer in there, but some great names on over the weekend, some great fights on over the weekend. Have you got any thoughts on any of these fighters returning to the ring, and especially obviously the Olympians in Yafai and Chevon Clark that are making their debuts?
Yeah, I think Yafai, first debut professional fight is going into a 10 rounder for the WBC or international fly title, straight into a title. I mean, it's one of them ridiculous ones, but you know, for a 10 rounder, I mean, I think the only one we've ever seen have a 10 rounder in their debut is probably Lomachenko. I think he might have been 12, but I've never known that to happen. Obviously, they're going to throw your fire straight in there. And the fact is that this Mexican, we know how dangerous these Mexicans are. I know this guy, Bautista, Carlos Vado Bautista. He's knocked out three opponents in, 15 fights. But it's still tough and durable. So it's going to be interesting if your fire can't get rid of him, how he goes when he's through the midway stage of his professional debut. Very fascinating and interesting insight into what they're looking to do with your fire. And obviously, Chevon Clark. I'm really pleased to see Chevon Clark moving into the pro game. He seems quite excited from what I've seen. The only other thing I will say is on the Taylor catch-all card is that Kurt Walker is a guy I remember from the Olympics, and just having a little peek into his amateur career. He's had near on 200 fights as an amateur, Kurt Walker. So maybe an Irishman to look out for. He's 26, making his debut, but after what, I think 15, 16 years in the amateur game. So hopefully it works well for him. So yeah, they're the names I'm sort of looking out for after the main events.
Well, that is the big fight preview for Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall, as well as Lawrence Okolie and Mikhail Sislak. Two great fights this weekend. I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to seeing how these two fights play out separately and how it changes the landscape going forward for their respective fighters' careers. Josh Taylor, Jack Catterall, the main one for us. Can Jack Catterall upset Josh Taylor? We don't seem to think so. We don't seem to think so whatsoever. Not dismissing Jack, of course, but I think Josh is just a special talent, and I think he's going to show us once again how much of a talent he is. Lawrence Okolie, can he get that Brady's fight? If he looks good again against Sislak, if he knocks Sislak out, absolutely. There's no reason why Brady shouldn't take that fight. Unless he doesn't want to get in the ring with Okolie, of course. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that sauce. He doesn't want that sauce off Okolie.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see what happens this weekend. Some great action. I'm looking forward to it. A couple of standout fights, which we've mentioned over the weekend. And that's about it for this big fight preview, guys. We'll be back with a reaction show at the start of next week to see what the outcome of these fights were. And of course, any standout performances, any controversies, we'll be covering it all. So, fight fans, thank you for listening. Find us on social media at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Please subscribe and rate and review. Let us know if you have any thoughts on any of these fights this weekend. We do hope you enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Wish I was 50 years younger, and I'd Social Podcast Network.